Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 141 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast.
In this episode, I get a chance to talk to Blake Stoker from Blake's Barbecue in Martin, Tennessee. This one's a great one, just first off because Blake is such a nice guy. And I've said that before, and that's kind of a common thread with a lot of barbecue people, that they're really great people and really nice people, and they just want to serve great food and meet people and share stories. And Blake, this is over an hour interview, and it could have gone 3 hours. And he admits himself that he likes to talk, and I like to talk. So maybe we'll make a part two and three of this. But it's an interesting thing. It's interesting because he kind of there's a similar path, but it's a different path. But it's a similar path that a lot of people in Texas and out of Texas have had. He saw a photo of Aaron Franklin holding a beef short rib on a 44 Farms catalog that his dad had, and that intrigued him, so they went on a family trip. He's made 9 or 10 barbecue trips with his family since then, to Texas especially, but that one was intriguing. So he went to Louis Miller, his first stop, and in Taylor, Texas, and had a beef rib there, and it was blown away. It was over a pound and a half or so, blown away by the bark and the meatiness and the unctuousness of it. And then he went to Franklin after that. The next day they waited in line. I think they waited 5 hours total to get their food. Was blown away, the epiphany, and that furthered his love and desire for barbecue, which brought it back to, he had some smoker's bills that he ended up using, and kind of the usual path, like making too much, giving it to friends and family, and then progressing to the trailer. And now we talk about he's going to have a brick and mortar. It's not going to be soon. It's going to be at the end of this year, early next, maybe even pushed out a little bit further. But it sounds spectacular. It's going to be a really cool setting. It's almost like some of those iconic either Lockhart places or somewhere in Luling or Louis Miller. It's got that kind of aesthetic, and he's going to build it out. And he talks in detail about that. He talks about his sister Abby and how she's part of the business, and she seems very passionate when I see her online. It's a really great story, and I can't thank Blake enough for taking the time. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, every so often he does go to his pits to do some work, to spritzing, to move, to make sure temperatures are right. So there are some not dead spaces, but little bit. You can hear him walking and doing stuff, and we talk on the way. But if you are interested in seeing what he does, go to the YouTube page at youtube.com/Kevin's BBQ Joints, and you can see the actual YouTube version of this. But thanks so much, Blake. And the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast is sponsored by The Smoke Sheet. The Smoke Sheet is a barbecue newsletter available at bbqnewsletter.com. It was started, it's the brainchild of Ryan Cooper, who is at BBQ Tourist, and Sean Ludwig, who is at NYC BBQ. Follow them on their own. Sign up for the Smoke Sheet for sure, but they're on adventures all the time, barbecue adventures and meat adventures, so you must follow them on all their social media. But they met in line at Snow's Barbecue in Lexington, Texas, and formed a relationship where they decided that it was about time to share their knowledge and share their passion for the news aspect of barbecue with the public. So they created the Smoke Sheet, comes in your email box every Wednesday, has tons of news information. You will read it. I read it. I sign up day one and I read it every Wednesday when it comes out, cover to cover. And it has news and openings and closings and a barbecue recipe of the week and links to all the coolest brand new barbecue YouTube stuff and barbecue podcasts, because there's a lot of stuff out there. There's so much stuff to ferret through, and they do that for you. And there's always things that I didn't know about, and I know that you're going to enjoy it. And I get a lot of emails, and I've said this before, but I do get a lot of emails like, la, 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 whatever. I signed up for the Smoke Sheet, and I love it. So I know you're going to love it. It's available at bbqnewsletter.com. That's bbqnewsletter.com. The Smoke Sheet is barbecue news worth consuming. And if you're digging these, please subscribe to both the YouTube channel and the podcast. That way you don't miss out on anything. And also, too, please comment below. If you're on the YouTube side, comment below. Let me know your favorite barbecue joint. Let me know if you've ever been to Blake's, or if you're interested in going to Blake's, or what you like the most about the interview. It was a really cool interview, so I know you're going to dig it. And I know that there's a lot to talk about within the interview itself. Also, I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com, which I'm adding tons and tons of stuff. It has links to all my stuff, but I'm adding tons of content, and I'm going to be releasing some really cool things in the next 2-3 weeks, so check that out. I also have an enormous contest coming out, so please follow all my stuff, so that way you can be part of it. It's going to blow you away. But most of all, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. I do appreciate. This is my passion. I think about barbecue all the time. I love all the people I'm meeting with in the barbecue world or that I've met and I've kept friends with for so long. It's a great world. I'm glad you guys are part of it. And if there's anything I can do to help you with anything in the world, DM me, email me, and I will get back to you. Thanks so much. Enjoy this.
I love your hat. I wear mine whenever I'm not doing barbecue. I'm keeping it clean, but what my bodacious hat.
Yeah, I was actually gonna write Gordon. I was gonna write him and just say, you know, I'll buy another one. Can I Venmo you some money? Because
mine's absolutely.
Yeah, mine's I think it has like toothpaste on it. I have no idea.
Definitely. Yeah, I want to get me another one and get them to send me another one to wear working. Actually, my sister just got here this morning, and I think she brought my Fijis hat and my Louis Miller hat, so I may start switching it up. I've been doing the Pinkertons for a few months now, and it's about to hit the barbecue hat graveyard, I'm afraid.
I think it's something that all of us do. I have so many hats, and they slowly but surely die.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been through probably, I don't know, a dozen or 15 over the last 3 or 4 years, and my hope is one day I have like a graveyard's not a good word for it, but, you know, a
shrine or something, or a
memorial.
Yeah, even shrine, it's got a, yeah.
That's right.
Well, I'm so glad that we finally got this going. We've been trying this like probably over a year, right?
It's been, I was thinking about it the other day, it's been probably 8 or 10 months, but hey, busy folks, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And you've got a lot more going on now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's like, I want to talk about your background and how you got into barbecue and about the future too, because there's a lot of great stuff. But also, I'd like to talk about Robert Jacob Lerman coming over to see you a couple of days ago. Oh, yeah, a couple of days ago. And then also too, I want to talk. We were going to do this on West Tennessee or on Tennessee in general, and that's maybe for another day. But I do want to talk about one specific place in Tennessee. I'd like to talk about Zach's place. So that would be. So do you want to talk? Should we talk about Robert first, and then go on to Zach and what his place means to you and that relationship?
Yeah, it's up to you, and they both kind of tie in for me.
Yeah, yeah. What happened a couple of days ago?
So Zach met Robert a few years ago, and you know the way they say it, Robert sort of took Zach under his wing and, you know, helped him and whatnot. So I guess and you'll probably hear me say this several times, my saying is in a nutshell, since I can and do talk so much, I have to, you know, rein myself in. So I'll be like, okay, in a nutshell. But anyhow, in a nutshell, I guess Robert was coming to visit Zach. I talked to Robert at the, you know, Houston Barbecue Festival for just a minute. And, you know, said, hey, next time you're around, you know, come see me, love to feed you or whatever. He said, oh, I will. And I figured it would be 3, 4, 5, 10 years, you know, if I ever got the opportunity to feed him, you know, and get the photography and all that. But they showed up about 4 o'clock Friday afternoon. Thank goodness. They called me and told me they were coming like 2 hours before. And they were supposed to be there. You know, they were about to leave. It's about an hour drive. And then like an hour and a half later, I text Zach. I'm like, y'all still coming? He's like, yeah, we're 50 minutes. So, you know, it's sort of dragging out. I guess I really wasn't that nervous when they got there. I guess I had enough time to, you know, get my stuff together. But, anyhow, they showed up and they were starving, they said. I hadn't eaten anything since breakfast. So I fixed them a platter. All I had left was pastrami. Thank goodness. I was doing my best to keep. It's not like I was cherry picking anything. I was just trying to keep some around.
Some around, yeah, yeah.
But I had pastrami, pulled pork, and sausage left, and made them a tray of it. They ate. Then I got busy. So my sister sat out there and sort of kept them, you know, in company. And I just kept serving. But went back out and, you know, got to talk. I think they'd finished up eating, so I really don't know how that went. But hopefully well.
I think it went well. And just so for people that might not know, Robert Jacob Lerma is one of the barbecue photographers, if not the. It's a special thing when he comes to visit. It's a big deal for any barbecue joint. And then Zach is Zach Parker from.
B. Scott's. I ask him all this.
Yeah, I was
I
gonna say,
call
I
it like
wanted to hear
five
you say
different. I call it Zach's place, but I think technically it's Scott Parker's, or is it B. Scott's? I don't know,
Okay.
but it's good stuff, so it doesn't
Yeah.
really matter.
What does his relationship mean to you?
Oh, it's been wild for me, and I'd never met him. You know, I knew who he was, and I've been familiar with, you know, with that barbecue joint for a few years, but up until so this past barbecue season, as I call it, and we'll probably get more into that. Like I've been years past, I've run it whenever I've been home from school. So from like mid-May through the end of July. Well, last year I was graduating from school, so I ran it through Thanksgiving, basically. I went visiting as soon as I could. As soon as I shut down, I went like the next Tuesday he was open. And since then I went like 10 weeks. Nah, probably not 10. That's probably a stretch. But like 8 weeks in a row. You know, I'd go and eat, and then me and him would chit chat for an hour or so, and had a good time. And I got busier and hadn't been in a while. So I went back, and I tell people I'm in barbecue, whether it's cutting, trimming, cooking, eating, smelling, cutting some more, trimming some more, you name it. I'm in barbecue 85, 90 hours a week. So by Saturday, that is my, if you want to call it day off, it's the closest thing to day off I have.
Yeah.
But Saturdays, I usually stay as far away from barbecue and really meat in general as I can. I eat pancakes and pizza, everything else. But I went, and it was the first time I'd been to his place in a while, months. And just absolutely hammered the most delicious jumbo Midland sandwich you could ever imagine.
Oh.
I was full like halfway through it, but I thought there's no way I'm not gonna eat it. It was awesome. But
Oh. And that's about you. I think when we had talked about an hour and a half from you or so.
yeah, I get there. I drive probably a little more efficiently than I ought to, but
That's a
I
nice way
get
to
there
say it.
probably right. Yeah, to not current itself, I can probably get there in an hour five or so.
And you've created a bond with him now that you probably can ask him advice and get a
Oh
lot of advice from.
yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
And so that's exciting. It's really it's just a, it was an exciting moment to see them at your place, and then see you have now an iconic photo from Robert Jacob Lerma.
Yeah, it was awesome. Those two, and I mean, those two being together, because I've been wanting to feed Zach in itself, or in himself, you know, for a long time, and then to be able to do it both together. So it was knocking out two big milestones for me at one time. Because I do think a lot of Zach.
Well,
I mean, I can't say enough about his personal character and the character of his, you know, of his barbecue and everybody that works there. It's just a class act place altogether.
And I've been working on chatting with him for a long time, and he's been really busy. So
Right.
I'm excited to finally talk to him. But it's nice that I talked to you before, because then I get a chance to kind of relay this information to
Oh,
him
yeah.
too. So where did you grow up, and how did you get your start in barbecue?
I grew up in, so I'm now located in Martin, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Dresden, Tennessee, which is just, if you're in Houston, it would be not even considered a separate place, you know, somewhere big. But we're in super rural West Tennessee, so if you're 12 minutes away, it's like a, not a completely different country, but, you know, completely separate communities. So I grew up in Dresden, super small town. We've got McDonald's, Subway. We do have a highway that runs through it, thanks to our or a past governor was from Dresden, so I guess he helped us back 20, 25 years ago get a highway through it. But very, very small town. Martin is a little bit bigger. We have the University of Tennessee at Martin, so
Okay.
not UT, not like the University of Tennessee Vols, opposite end of the state. The people hear I'm from Tennessee, and they're like, oh, it's beautiful, the Smoky Mountains. And I'm like, yeah, you know, that's like 6 hours away. The closest thing to a mountain is about 6 hours away.
Okay.
I'm gonna run out. I'm gonna grab this. I've got two smokers full of butts and briskets and stuff, so I'm gonna make sure everything's kosher.
Perfect. No, I like Nick. I love this when we do this, because people get a chance to see, and gosh, the sky looks so blue.
Yeah, it was really, really not ugly, but it was really stormy last week. Here's a. I don't know if you can
All
see
right.
that.
Yeah, thank you.
And then there's that one, but things are looking okay. Wouldn't mind bumping the hair.
You want to add some wood, or?
a lot of times I don't use the most safe apparatuses to move my logs around. I use my shoe or whatever I've got, but since we're on camera, I better not do that.
Well, you can't see it. Yeah, we don't know what you're using.
Right.
How big are those?
They are 500 gallon, I guess what you would call Franklin style. So I guess we'll get to that in a minute about, you know, the origin of barbecue, but sort of like everybody else, you know, it sort of started with a Franklin book that a lot of folks are probably familiar with.
Yes, sir. Did you have those built locally, or did you build them yourselves?
My dad, so up until recently, I guess for about 20 years, 25 years, my dad had a Black Angus cattle farm. And with that, you know, comes the need for a lot of equipment and tractors and just all sorts of equipment that's involved with all that. And his, I hate calling him farmhand because that's not right, but the guy that that helped him the most there on the farm is just seriously a jack of all trades. I mean, he's not a brain surgeon whatsoever. But if I was in the jungle and needed brain surgery or something like that, and he was around, I wouldn't hesitate real, real hard and let him do it. Because he just literally can do any and everything.
It's amazing when there's people like that. My dad, when he was alive, he could do that kind of stuff. He could build anything, make anything. It was amazing. Yeah, he could do electrical if he had to. He'd check an electrician's work after he left.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this guy's by trade, he's a... you know, a college grad, electrical engineer, but he's just seriously can do anything.
So he built your smokers?
Yeah, him and my dad. So he also welds. He's a really good welder.
Of course.
They knocked him out. I guess that was, so this sort of goes back to the origin of me cooking barbecue. That was the winter, they built him the winter of 2015. So at the end of 2015, I guess both of them were finished by like January 2016.
Okay.
So you're asking about my origins of barbecue. Yeah. I'll try to keep this in a nutshell. I played high school. I shouldn't even back up this far. I played high school football. Didn't have a whole lot of time. I've always enjoyed cooking, but it's not like I had a lot of time. I took it pretty seriously, as I do. I don't do anything halfway, so, you know, I put my heart into whatever it is. So I didn't have a whole lot of time, but I've always enjoyed cooking. Got to college, bought a big green egg. And that sort of got the bug rolling a little bit. Not long after, my dad showed me a picture of Aaron Franklin holding a beef rib in like a 44 Farms catalog.
Uh-huh.
His dad used to get that being in the cattle business. And we're like, what? I mean, this is 2015 or something like that. And I didn't know it, you know, never seen a beef rib. And so went and got my hands on a rack. Cooked them on my big green egg, and I was showing Robert and Zach this other day, and that, honestly, sort of from then on, it was changed for me. So Dad got me either for my birthday, which would have been October 2015, maybe Christmas of 2015. Dad got me the Franklin book. I was a good student in school, I was just a good, and it's helped me with the food trailer, being a good time manager. So it's not that I was smart. I just knew how to manage my time.
That's smart. But that's smart to have. That's a great tool. Yeah.
Oh, it's been the most useful tool for me throughout college and everything. This morning, it's the only way I've gotten to do this morning. Read that book cover to cover. First time I've ever enjoyed a book in my life. Then I thought, okay, we got to go to Texas. So took our first Texas barbecue trip, the first of, you know, 9 or 10 that I've made since then in January, around New Year's Eve that week, first of 2016. First stop was William Miller. You know, what better place ever?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. That's indoctrinated. Yeah.
Changed my life. You know, knew I was going to get a beef rib, but really didn't know the magnitude of what a dino beef rib could be. I need to quit doing that. I'm done doing that. But
that's good. You could, you know, change everything today.
Yeah. It was a big one. It was like a $39, $40 one. So, you know, we got way too much food, just made ourselves sick, but it was awesome. It was life-changing, just like it's been for countless other folks.
So then you went to Franklin next?
Then Franklin. So that's a pretty heavy-hitting first two experiences. So I did Franklin the next morning. You know, got there at 7, got food at like 12:30, you know, had the whole experience. It was luckily not hot. You know, it's January in Austin, so it was cold, but not cold cold. And then from there, in a nutshell, I've been back, you know, made it a point. The first two or three, first 2 years, I think I only did like two trips. But since then, you know, at this point, I've done 9 or 10 Texas trips. I think I keep list, you know, of all this stuff. Every time I watch Man Fire Food or Triple D, I just got lists and lists and lists.
Yeah, same with
restaurants
me.
All over, exactly. I have to go through and just delete some every once in a while to create room.
And I need to make mine more concise and make more sense because
yeah. More like regional or something like that. Yeah.
How far away now? When you always do road trips, how far away are you from say Dallas or then Austin?
Austin, I guess is always it's 11.5 or 13. I know it's not 12. It's either 11.5 or 13. But you know, in that range, all those places are. Let's see. Houston, yeah, it's about 11. If I'm going to Houston, then I go Memphis, Little Rock, Texarkana, and sort of south towards Shreveport. Yeah. Really end up going near Longview and where Joseph's Riverport Barbecue's at in Riverport. If I'm going to Austin, usually the first few trips we went Dallas, then Austin.
Yeah.
So that was a different route. But anyhow, it's a good stretch, and I do not like driving one bit. Like I told Zach the other day, if I could, I'd take a plane to Lexington. It's only an hour. But I do enjoy driving for barbecue, and there's something about the Texas road trip that, you know, is attractive to me. And people ask me all the time, why don't you just fly? And I'm like, well, I just enjoy it. So
yeah.
Probably not any less expensive.
So then from there, from going to Texas on that first trip, did that make you think, hey, you know, I'm going to start replicating this at home?
Right. So while in the Franklin line, I actually remember I'd been being asked for because I was a sophomore in college at that point, and my family and fraternity brothers and friends had always asked me. They would say you're a good cook. That's whatever, you know, just like everybody says. Yeah. Everybody's going to say you're a good cook. That didn't matter to me. They're like, you know, you enjoy cooking. Why don't you go to culinary school? Why don't you open a restaurant? I'm like, well, you know, I love it now. I'd hate for it to become I'd hate to lose the passion and become a job.
Yeah.
And, you know, grow to resent it. But finally, you know, I got to think, you know, I'd hate to look back 40 years from now, be working a desk job, you know, for 40 years and think, man, you know, I wish, what if, you know, I wish I hadn't done it, living in regret. So I thought, okay, let's just try it. So we started calculating and all that stuff, you know, is it possible? And so, yeah, that trip to Texas validated my, you know, my short-term, it only been short-term wish, you know, thoughts about doing a food tour or something.
And knowing that there wasn't that craft style or that central Texas style barbecue in Dresden or even
or anywhere surrounding it. Yeah. Right. And honestly, I mean, if you think that was 2015, 2016, that's honestly, it's weird for me to think about, but that's before. I don't mean it's not before the movement, but it was early on in the movement.
That's at the beginning of it.
It's happened since I made the jump.
You know? Yeah.
Then, like, I was fairly early, at least outside of Texas.
No, for sure. There's not, and there, like, there's, yeah, like you said, within the last about 3 years, so much has happened in the barbecue world. Were those smokers already built? Was those, did your dad and.
So how does that line up? Maybe I'm a year. I know that my first, the smokers were finished at either the end of 2015 or, and I know this doesn't really make sense. Well, I'm going to have to do some soul searching to figure out that time frame. If you talk to me long or if you're around me long, you'd figure out as Robert Wormer likes to say, I look 17 or 13. I'm actually 23, but I'm like a 79-year-old at heart. So my memory is also that way. But.
You're an old soul that looks very young.
Right. And I mean, what can I say? You know, nothing to do about now. I'm going to spritz some briskets real quick.
Okay, cool. Okay.
And just give me one sec. Anyhow.
So when did you do your first cook for people? What was that like?
You mean the first day of operation?
You were first, like, when you started to actually start testing your skills.
Oh, you know, what I did is I was on spring break. And I don't know why I'm being so forgetful of what year this is. It all right.
I don't remember years at all.
Right. So I know I was home. It was the spring break right after my smokers were built. And I knew that I was going to be opening the trailer. I spent my whole spring break, literally, I don't think I slept the whole week, it seems like, cooking. And I would, you know, I would do a few slabs of ribs and then, you know, put on a pork butt, whatever. And at like 11 o'clock, I'd pack everything up that I had cooked for the morning and just run it around to the schools, the banks, the offices, you know, family, friends, just say, hey, you know, test this or, you know, taste it for me. Hey, no charge at all. I'm just practicing, and I'd rather somebody eat it than, you know, I can't eat it all, so I don't want it to go to waste. So that, I guess, was the beginning of or how I, you know, got into the practicing and for the public a little bit.
Were you calling it Blake's Barbecue at the time?
I don't even know. I don't know if I'd come up with a name or what. This would have been like March of 2016 because I opened in May of 2016. But I'm assuming I probably knew the name was going to be Blake's Barbecue, which, hey, that was just off the fly. As far, you know, I never feel like anything has to have my name attached to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, we threw around like probably 30 name ideas and just finally landed on the simplest, which is just Blake's. You know, it is what it is, I guess.
Were you, at that time, you said you had a trailer. Where was the trailer at? Was it at your house or like off your property?
Either being built, I had it. It was custom made in like Waycross, Georgia, which is like, I'm going to not use a dirty term, but way down southeast Georgia. That's apparently like the concession trailer capital of the world. There's all sorts of manufacturers down there.
Oh, interesting.
There.
Okay.
It was cool. Yeah. It was either being built at that time or it might have been just delivered. I don't remember the exact day or week, you know, it was delivered, but we just kept it in storage at our farm until we got ready to move it to my trailer location.
And your trailer location, was that in Dresden or was it?
Yeah, for the first 3.5 years, it was in Dresden, just off between the highway and the Court Square downtown area.
What was the response of people locally? Were they, because they're not used to that style.
Right. So I always say it this way. Before I started cooking Texas-style brisket in this area, there was none of it going on, and there really still isn't that much. There's some guys, there may be a place or two in Memphis or some pop-up type stuff in Memphis going on. There's a restaurant, I can't think of the name of it, that I think sort of specializes in brisket.
Okay.
I've not been to try it, but, you know, I wish everybody the best. So I'm going to assume it's great.
Yeah.
But I know in Nashville there's a few guys or there's a few folks, pop-ups and stuff like that. The Oak Texas Barbecue, I'm buddies with them, talking to them all the time, and went and helped them with one of their pop-ups.
Actually. Oh, great.
Yeah, it was cool. But the response was really good. People were excited. There's two camps of folks. Half were excited and half just had absolutely no idea what was going on. So people's idea of brisket around here before I started cooking it the way I do was like shredded roast beef, you know, resemblance stuff that you would get, you know, frozen at the grocery store. Just not good.
Yeah.
But so it took a lot of Louis Miller style, you know, samples. Like, hey, just try. They're like, oh, I don't like brisket. Well, just try this. You know what I mean? You've probably not had it like this before. And, you know, pretty instantly.
Yeah, that doesn't take long.
Right. And it's not for everybody, you know, because it's a different, especially around here, people are not used to beef barbecue at all.
Because you're in pig country, right?
Right, right. Mostly, you know, pulled pork butt, stuff like that, ribs, but mostly baby back ribs. People had no idea what, you know, a true full slab of spare ribs, you know, with a breastbone in. Yeah, that I'd have people call and say, you know, tomorrow I'm going to want a half a rack of them long ribs. They'd call them long ribs.
Like, that's so great.
And I didn't eat, you know, just went, I knew what they were talking about.
Were you making sausage at the beginning?
I did. I made it all throughout the past. And, you know, that was always my, not nemesis, but making sausage is not the easiest thing in the world. You know, I was happy with it like 90% of the time. Never did I think, oh, this is great. So, I mean, every once in a while, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I can stand up. Anyhow, I've now moved to, I get mine from Myers in Elgin.
Okay.
And I just, there's no way I can, with the volume increase over here and it still being me doing the cooking and all that, you know, and the making, there's no way I could keep up now.
So that's from Myers Elgin sausage in Elgin, Texas. Excellent.
It's good stuff.
Which one do you sell?
The jalapeno cheddar and just the Texas mild. It's the jalapeno cheddar is a beef and pork, and the Texas, I can't remember exactly what they call it, but it's a pork, just a more approachable for folks not as adventurous or into spice or whatever.
Well, and it's good to have, and they've been making sausage for decades, so it's...
Oh, we've been to the professionals. Maybe I may get back into it. One day, right now, it's what I need to be doing.
Yeah, when you have like a larger team and it makes sense for you, and time, time's an important equation, especially now because it's just yourself. How have things progressed with the as things roll? Because I remember you, this is back in the almost a year, you were sending me photos of a potential brick and mortar location.
Right. So since then, that's definitely progressed. I've gotten a hold of it, we'll say. I hate to say bought it, but I've got possession of it.
Okay.
That building, it was an old grain mill, I guess, for lack of better terms. Beautiful. Built in between, started in 1916 and finished in 1918. So, 101 years old at this point. You talk about character, just natural character. It's unbelievable. It's got to be the coolest historic building. I'd venture to say it's as cool as any building near in the world. There might be a castle somewhere in Sweden or, in Europe that would rival it. I'm kidding, but really, really has as much natural character.
No, it's beautiful. It's really has so much character. And so it will be an amazing spot.
It's going to be cool. We're really excited now. And we're going to keep it as original as possible. It's what I tell people is just a cleaned up version of its original self. There's a lot of remodeling and cleaning up, for lack of better terms, it's got to be done, but definitely going to keep its natural integrity.
What's the timeline for that?
I've been saying 12 to 18 months for about 16, 18 months now.
I know.
but as of last Monday evening, I had my last city rezoning board. I had to get it's really funky, zoning lines and property lines right there. It sits on old railroad property. It's been a challenge trying to figure all that stuff out and getting it resurveyed and surveyed again, figuring out which old surveys were accurate or not. And so it's been a process, but right now we're ready to move forward. Remodeling construction could start in a week, or if things, go like things typically do, it could be another 10 weeks, but we're ready to move forward with the initial remodeling stuff. So that's pretty exciting.
And what will that place be like for people so that they can kind of get a glimpse as to, there'll be indoor seating and outdoor seating or just
indoor? It'll be indoor seating. So on the south, my trailer where I'm set up now, moved from Dresden to Martin, is about a third of a mile down the street.
Okay.
Strategically, a lot of people think I moved over here for more business. Not at all. It's just simply that with as much as I've got going on down there, I couldn't be 15, 16, 17 minutes away.
True.
Trying to facilitate all that stuff. So, especially whenever construction starts, I'm going to have to be bouncing back and forth, in the mornings and evenings, dealing with painters, electricians, contractors, you name it. So, I just couldn't be that far away and facilitate that whole deal.
Are you going to have a smokehouse? Are you building a smokehouse?
Right. So, you're going to walk in on the north side onto a patio, a climate-controlled patio with what will look like, and this is the plan right now, what will look like roll-up doors. They're probably not going to actually be roll-up because the weather's hardly either cool enough, or warm enough, or not raining. Weather's not great here, typically. It's one extremity or the other. But you're going to walk up. Pit room is going to be glassed in, resembling Truth Houston, as far as as you're in line, you'll be able to see.
That's great.
The pit room. It may not be me, hopefully I'll have some help.
Yeah.
So I hope it is me, there's nothing I like to do more than cooking barbecue, Yeah. But yeah, so you'll walk up, be dining in a patio setting as you walk in. Then on your right be the pit room. You'll walk, follow the wall, go inside, line will form. We're still making the decision on how we're gonna set up the line as far as, you know, cafeteria, meat market style. That's what I would, in a perfect world, that's what I'd want. But I just simply may not be able to do it that way because of the logistics of the building.
Then it might be a place where you order at the...
What we're thinking is something more like Tejas, Corkscrew, like the cutting and stuff maybe going... Miller's, the cutting and stuff going on in the back, but you're able to see it. You're not disconnected from it. It may not necessarily be right
up front,
It is at Franklin or William Miller or all that.
And that's fine too. It's as long as they know that you're cutting it fresh and it's
People around here know. I think by this point they've learned that it's either fresh or it's gone. You know, that's the only way I'm going
to
do it.
So right now, if people want to visit you, and then we'll talk about what the hours and things will be for potentially for the brick and mortar. But for visiting you right now, how often do you open and what time?
I'm open Tuesday through Friday from 11 until sold out. Sold out. I've been trying to make it to 5:30, 6:30. You know, obviously at that point I'm going to be out of turkey most likely. Probably out of ribs, probably out of brisket. Maybe not. I'm trying to keep up as best as I can. But at 5:30, 6:00, you're still going to be able to come get, you know, a pound of pork or a pulled pork sandwich or, you know, I'm going to have something, hopefully. But, you know, if you're wanting a full menu, I would come. If you're wanting ribs and turkey especially, I would come, 1:30 or before.
So Tuesday through Friday, and then what's on your menu?
So in Dresden, I had a much more elaborate menu. Barbecue smoked bologna, which is a big, you know, Tennessee, West Tennessee area thing. I had all sorts of daily specials. Tuesday was barbecue nacho Tuesday. Wednesday was smoked meatloaf. Thursday was, we called it Blake's Choice. I would just come up with something, you know, pork belly burnt-ins or whatever. Friday's always been a pastrami Friday. Speaking of pastrami, before I started doing pastrami, people had and you can't blame them. I mean, me neither, hardly, but had no clue what pastrami was.
That's interesting. I can imagine.
Oh, yeah. What's that P word stuff? Or, you know, calling it all sorts of names. So that was a learning curve, but now it's the biggest, you know, my biggest seller, most exciting part of the week.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's been pretty cool to see the transformation of my clientele base. You know, they've become more experimental and sort of trust me, you know, if I throw something new out or, you know, they put a lot of trust in me, which has been nice, and, you know, I appreciate that.
So you don't have all those specials in the Martin location right now, so?
This transition, things have been a little more busy. I'm in a more populated, more heavily trafficked area, and I would say word spreading a little bit more, a little bit better, a little bit wider, so... It's been busier, which is great. So to offset that, I've sort of dialed back my menu. Here's my deal. I'm a perfectionist. Not that I've ever done anything perfect, and I haven't, and I never will. But that's what I strive for. Yeah. So my idea is I would rather do 10 things as well as I possibly can, you know, give 110%, than try to do 20 things, and then, you know, I won't be able to put 85 or 90% in.
That's smart.
So, I dialed my menu back to brisket, you know, you can get it by the pound, slice or chopped sandwich. I've got, you know, a one meat plate, a two meat plate. So brisket, pulled pork, St. Louis cut spares, smoked turkey breast, and sausage. And I will have Friday is pastrami Friday.
Always
fair. So on Friday, I'll have both pastrami and my regular brisket. And I have some other specials every once in a while, but it's... As of lately, it's been all myself and my smokers can do to keep up with those 5 proteins in a large enough quantity to offset the demand, which is great.
That's great. That's crazy, but it's great.
Been really cool.
And what sides do you have?
Baked beans, and this isn't like a Baracha bean in Texas, more like a sweeter Tennessee-style baked bean.
Okay.
You know, I use scrap pulled pork or brisket.
Okay.
Mixed in with it, potato salad, vinegar coleslaw, bags of chips, And sides are actually one thing that I do really like to play with as far as specials. So I've been doing like a, I'm gonna walk back out and check on names real quick.
Okay.
The past few weeks, I guess not past few, but I've done it 2 out of the last 5 I've been opening, Martin. Been doing a homemade pimento cheese.
Oh, that sounds good.
And like,
oh, I saw homemade, that.
Yeah, it's been pretty, people, I had no idea that I'd made pimento cheese a few times, but you know, I never thought much of it, but been rave reviews over it, so I guess I found a new niche or whatever. Pimento cheese, and then not homemade crackers. People are like, you make your crackers? I'm like, no, I don't make the crackers, but a seasoned cracker to go with it. So, you know, people have the option to come get like a quarter, a third, or a half pound of brisket with a side of homemade pimento cheese and seasoned crackers. So that's been a
That's a cool perfect little meal right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a cool little snack. You know, it depends on how much meat you get, if it's a snack or not. But then I like doing like a Mexican corn salad, like an elote, you know, corn salad, corn and black bean salad, like a Texas caviar of black-eyed peas mixed with peppers and onion and all that stuff. I love black-eyed peas with beef barbecue. So good. So I play with side specials probably now more than I do with meat specials, mostly due to pit space. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can only cook so much. So
then with your brick and mortar, you might have to get another pit.
Oh yeah. Like right in the, I say right now for a while, we've been in the search for a good thousand gallon that'll fit,
mm-hmm.
You know, or that's, you know, in good enough shape. So the plan is to very soon start building out 1,000 gallons. So, and you know, my hope is that I figure out within the first week that's not even going to be, you know, nearly enough.
Probably.
Then we're scrambling for you know, the next one. But the plan is to start at the brick and mortar with my 2 500 gallons and then 1,000 gallon built, you know, same way.
And hopefully that should work out for a little while, and then
right. Hopefully, and then again, hopefully not. You know what I mean?
Well, no, yeah, of course you want. Yeah, you want to be busy, and then maybe you'll have 2,000s, and then maybe you sell one of your 500s, or who knows?
Right.
What. Yeah.
That's sort of like the deal with, you know, with long lines. It's like, well, I don't want a long line, but then again, you do want the demand, you know, that builds a long line. I guess the deal with that is you just want to be efficient enough with your line to not have people, you know, you don't want people waiting, but.
That's the toughest thing is you want to make sure you have a line, but you don't. And so with your pastrami, how did you learn how to make pastrami?
I guess research. You know, just I got interested. In, I probably saw Russell's. You know, Ragel's.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if it was maybe Russell, maybe that.
Probably so. You know, to be honest, I don't remember exactly, but you know, I probably saw some of those guys doing it, and you know, caught the bug with that. Did some research. I think I ended up, you know, finding 3 or 4 recipes and sort of didn't follow any of them exactly like everything else. You just find what works for you. So I came up with a recipe. I think it was like the second one I did, and it worked really well. I think initially I tried a dry brine or what would they call that? I do a wet cure, a wet brine. So whatever the opposite of that is, where you just pack on the cure, dry cure. But just did some research and some playing around with it and found what worked for me and pretty well stuck with it.
Your pastrami looks amazing. So if people come visit you now, they would come see you. Would your sister always be there, or is it?
I get here about 3:50, 3:55 in the morning, get things, you know, get all the meat on. Well, I mean, I put on different proteins as I go.
Yeah.
But so, you know, first thing, put on briskets. And then I'm in here trimming briskets, rubbing briskets, start pastramis if I need to. Trimming ribs, seasoning ribs, butts, you know, all that stuff. She'll get here between 6 and 8 in the morning or so and help with whatever, go do the bank deposit. She's the brains behind it. My organization factor now. I used to be able to handle it in Dresden. Now there's no way.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's been invaluable. Absolutely.
That's so great.
And then she also, so I guess I'll go throughout the rest of the morning. She'll get here, you know, mid-morning. For me, it feels like the end of the day, but, you know, I've been here a while. And then I have 2 other workers show up in the 9:30 to 10 o'clock range to help get sauces poured, tables cleaned, drink stock, sides cupped up, you know, ready to go. make sure we're stocked in here with our to-go plates and make sure trays are lined with butcher paper, you know, just everything, all the behind-the-scenes stuff. Then during service, so about 10:30, me and Abby turn around and we start filling pre-orders. We usually have, you know, a handful or more of pre-orders. We might have a big order going out at, say, 11:30. You know, somebody's feeding 30 people at their office. Those are very helpful orders. We love those. But, anyhow, I cut. Abby stands beside me and helps build sandwiches, makes sure swallowing the correct sauce is on it, wraps them up or puts them on the tray. Now, I'll lay the brisket where, you know, we sort of help one another. Then there's a lady beside her that makes sure if it's to go, and it's in a bag and has napkins and all the condiments and all the right sauces and the sides and all that stuff. They hand it out the window, and then so I have two windows. I would show you, but it's not really worth doing it.
That's okay.
But then there's another worker that takes the order, takes money, all that stuff. So it's from 10 o'clock in the morning till about 1 or 1:30 to get through lunch rush. It's a four-man operation. Almost necessary, you know, almost completely necessary to have four. And then, you know, it may, by 1:30 we've sold a lot and it's slowed down, you know, the lunch rush is over, so we'll send one and then, you know, just sort of see how the afternoon progresses. But yeah, Abby should be here unless she's left me on vacation or something like that. They did that a couple weeks ago and I was left to fend for myself, but that's okay.
No, but that's great to have her. And I've seen her. I've seen photos of you guys on your travels, and I've seen that she's gone on barbecue adventures with you too. So that's nice to share that with someone that is close to you.
Oh yeah, she's gotten the barbecue bug, bitten pretty hard on her as well.
When you have the brick and mortar location, you're gonna plan on being open weekends too?
With a brick and mortar, we don't know exactly, but you know, definitely increasing the hours. I would say. Probably 6 days a week from 11 until sell out, of course, again. But I would like to have some nighttime barbecue. So, you know, probably do cook shifts. I mean, whatever brisket we start out with at 11 is going to be what, you know, that is what it is. And same deal with pork butts. But, you know, probably cooking a couple of shifts of ribs and turkey and all the short cooks. And having probably... not a more elaborate protein menu, but, you know, having maybe some more sides. With a bigger kitchen and more help, it'll be easier to expand all
that.
Yeah,
that'll be more storage space. And
Right. Walk-in, that's the next challenge, is figuring out exactly what amount of walk-in cooler space is going to be sufficient, because that's sort of where we're at right now, getting all the kitchen stuff designed. So we'll see.
How exciting, and how does it feel right now? How does that, and what's the barbecue, what's barbecue mean to you and the barbecue family?
Oh, it's just been life-changing for me and my family. You know, before my mother went to Texas with me for the first time back in, me and my dad and my sister went in October, last October, and then between October and my last visit in I guess that was the 1st of April. I went four times in however many months that is, you know, like 5 months. So I was in Texas a lot. But my mom went twice during that span. And before she went, she'd heard me talk about the barbecue community, you know, and how close-knit and how the barbecue culture in Texas. Mm-hmm. And I would try to describe it like, think about the biggest Tennessee Vols fan that you know. That's how everybody in every age bracket and every, no matter what your background is, that's how everybody in Texas feels about barbecue. Like, everybody is a giant, giant Tennessee Vols fan of Texas barbecue in Texas. She didn't get it.
That's a good analogy, though. Yeah.
There's better ones, but that's what I always come up with. She went out there and, you know, within a half a day, got it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just understood and has changed her. My dad's known because me and him went, you know, for the first time together. And I think it was the trips out there that my sister's been on that really got her on board with the vision and all that stuff, too.
Well, and for people that are listening to this or watching this that are into barbecue but don't maybe realize or don't know how to get into that this barbecue world, go to Texas or go to your favorite barbecue joints and start talking to people. And
that's all absolutely. It takes. Yeah.
Everyone absolutely. Wants to share. Most everyone wants to share their information. And
right. I've passion. Not run into anyone that's not been just completely gracious. I mean, I could start naming. You get in trouble whenever you start naming because Lord knows my memory can't remember everybody I need to name, so I'm not even going to go there. But they've all been extremely helpful. Here's a good analogy as well as far as the barbecue community. If I can get in my vehicle by myself and drive 13 hours away to a metropolis city of Houston or Austin, and the only time I'm ever by myself is, you know, at night in the bed or, you know, in the vehicle perhaps, and that says something in that. If I'm at a, you know, any time during the day, I'm either eating lunch with, a lot of times the owners of the restaurant, you know, they're gracious enough to come out and sit with me, talk, all that stuff, or people, Patrick Hernandez and the Tales from the Pits guys and all that stuff, TJ Tron, Hiratishi Mugen, you know, Houston, Packy. I need to stop naming because I'm.
These are all people that are super passionate about barbecue.
Right. There's always somebody, you know, I've got friends in all sorts of places only because of barbecue. So it's changed my life and put me into a world that I'm too deep into now to turn around from if I wanted to. But so the last thing I want to do is get out of it. I'm, you know, all in and literally about to go all in, 23 and about to sign off on a, you know, sign my life away to a brick and mortar restaurant. No. So call it crazy, but.
We're all excited. Oh.
One second. We're open Tuesday through Friday. What did you say? I'm gonna grab you a menu. I've got to go menu. Yes, ma'am.
This is good because it shows your customer service skills. On the fly.
Well, you get those pretty quick, but you know, on Mondays I'm not open, and I would say on average, you could ask my sister, on average I would say probably somewhere between 20 and 30 pull up, you know, asking. But one second.
That's
here's
good.
Here's a couple menus. You can leave, yes, ma'am, leave one in your vehicle and then drop one off to a buddy.
Okay.
Thank you. You know, people pull up all day long, which is fine. And it's a good, you know, once again, a good problem. It means they want it.
No. They wouldn't come by if they didn't.
That's right. Or they're at least, you know, interested.
What should people know? Because I'd like to do a part two of this, but do it when I visit you so that way we could.
Right.
But what should people know about Blake and Blake's barbecue? What should people know that we might not have covered?
Okay, so here's a good thing, or a good thing to mention. I am, I guess, probably the epitome of a workaholic. I might sit down between the time I get up at 3:35 in the morning and the time I go to bed about 9:15. I might sit down. I don't get to eat lunch, you know, during service, but you know, like on Monday, I'll sit down. I have smoked wings on Monday. It's my Monday lunch tradition. Not on my menu. It used to be on my menu, my dressing menu, but talking about trying to cook 90 wings, you know, in one, make sure they're all done and seasoned
properly.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. That got old. I don't have the pit space for it now, but am I tired? Yes, I get tired, but when you love what you do, and I truly love what I do, it's pretty easy to stay motivated. And then seeing the people, there's nothing like what keeps me going. And this is, I'm not in a boat by myself with this. What keeps me going is, you know, seeing people enjoying it. And, you know, maybe it's their first time having brisket, or they think they don't like brisket and they try it. And they're like, oh, I had no idea. And they come back that evening and they buy a pound. They're like, oh, well, I've got to take some to my, you know, it'll say it's an elderly couple or something. I've got to take some to my kids, you know, something like that. So that type of stuff keeps me going absolutely no problem. And then you have stuff like Lerma and Zach come to visit, and that's just put a totally new fire underneath
me. It energizes you, yeah, beyond you can imagine, yeah.
Right. So, you know, and it does, like, I would do it, and I could do it just as easily without any of the, you know, so a text saying, you know, hey, lunch is great there, whatever. But that type of stuff does help, you know, at least push you in the right direction and, you know, keep me motivated.
For sure. No. And I'm so excited for you, and I really want to visit. If you're coming, say you fly into Memphis, say you're in Memphis for business, how long would it take you to get out to your spot?
If you flew into Memphis and you got a rental car, you could probably be here in 2-2.25 hours, okay, depending on the traffic getting out of Memphis. Once you get out of Memphis, you're fine. And I'm only in – if you're coming to see me, you got to go see Zach. If I can, then we'll – and I'm talking to you, but I'm also talking to anybody else that's going to watch this. If you come to see me, you better get to Zach's, which is just an hour, which is B.E. Scott's or Scott Parker's Barbecue. We'll talk about it when you get here. But, you know, going to do one, you got to do both. And there's other places, and we can talk about that maybe in another interview.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. When I visit, we'll – because I saw that you did like a little bit of a tour with those guys, and I want to do it, and I'll film it, I'll document it, because I would love to, for other people to see how special that is. I think Robert, of course, documented it in photography wise, and also
And I did the behind the scenes, I love stories and stuff, but yeah, that was a really fun day. You're talking about cool hanging out with those two all day.
Did Zach get him a gun?
He did. That's super cool. Yeah. I've always been into outdoor. I mean, I grew up in the country, and I've always been into hunting and fishing and stuff. I don't have any time to do any of that stuff now, which is fine. Yeah. But it looked like a machine. We'll put it that way. But it was pretty cool.
It was a custom made, beautiful. Yeah.
It was pretty.
Yeah,
I would not want to be on the other end of that. I don't believe.
Heck no. My last question is: are you going to do any whole hog at all? Eventually, is that something you want to ever put on your menu?
Here's my answer to that. Me and Zach have talked about it more than once, and especially this past weekend. But what I would like to do is about once a quarter at my restaurant is have like what I call a shindig. You know, a quarterly shindig where everybody just marks it off on their calendar, and they know they're going to Blake's or whatever the name of it is going to be, you know, for a shindig. And it'd be like having Zach come and cook a whole hog, or Tyler Hart. I'm pretty good buddies with the Tyler as well.
Yeah, Tyler. Zach, I'm going to see Tyler in a couple of days, yeah.
Right, and I'm hoping to go up. So Windy City Smokeout is like July 13th, well, Tyler and Zach are having like a benefit cook at I guess Crane Brewery, and where Tyler's set up.
Oh, that's so great.
And I may go with Zach, if I can get away, I may go with Zach up there to do that, so that'd be cool.
That would be so cool. I forgot that it's so quickly. It's already July. It's hard to believe how quickly.
I know. Time just flies.
Well, thank you for taking the time, and thank you for sharing your story. And I know a lot of people have asked me when I'm going to interview you, so I'm glad that we finally got this done.
Right. Well, I appreciate you talking to me, and I hate it. Everything happens when and how it's supposed to. That's just like what I've been saying to people asking me about when the restaurant will happen. I'm like, you know, that everything happens when and how it's supposed to. So stuff like this. But I appreciate it.
Well, have a great day. Have a great day off, so to speak.
Yeah, you know.
Not really, but have a great week. Have a nice 4th, and we'll talk soon. And I can't wait to meet you in person, hang out, and have some barbecue. Have some of your barbecue, too.
Now, I'll be glad to feed you when I can. We'll go eat some good stuff, too.
I'm looking forward to it. Have a great week.
Thank you, buddy.
Take care. Bye-bye. Thanks so much.
Sausage and whatnot. Smoker number 2, always full of briskets and butts. Both great. I just feel like this one cooks. My one cooks better, a little more consistently. This one's a little more fidgety, so I tend to use it for my shorter cooks. There's my wood. Getting sort of low, staying wet. Because it rains every day. That's about it.